Amen. Thank you very much again for those joining us online. I do not have much to say today. We, by the grace of God, we started the children's services this June. We've been it's just a little bit skeletal at the moment. From July, today is the last Sunday, I just realized, in the month. Yeah, please, can somebody just mind those big boys at the back there? Big boys, listen to me. All right. You know, I just realized that today is the last Sunday in the month of June. And also, the last Sunday. And what that means is that we have gone halfway. 2022. I don't want to use the word scary, but I always wonder, where did the time go? And as I was meditating this morning, I just realized that, do you realize that time will never wait for you? No matter what you feel, if you wake up, like some people will say, they woke up on the right side of the bed, time won't wait for you. Or you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and because you are angry, you're not happy, you refuse to do what you ought to do, time is not going to wait because you are feeling one way or the other, whether negatively or positively. There's something about time that the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And today I'll just be sharing briefly. I took some time today and I just was in a place of waiting. And it's just a practice, something I've learned to always try to do. You see, it's easy and it's not also easy when, you know, week in, week out, you have to stand before people and share with them what you believe God is saying. You can make it very easy. Just get the Bible, look for scriptures that rhyme, and come before people and just tell them, you know, one or two things. And preach make a very good speech and call it a sermon. Or you can choose to do the one that involves a bit of labor, where you just come before the Lord to wait and receive. And you don't move until God actually says something that He wants you as a vessel to go and deliver to the people. You see, that's where the real work is. Because at times, I'm telling you, I wake up and it's like God is not saying anything. And I just have to stay there in the place of waiting. Because I don't know about you, but I don't play with people's lives. And I don't play with people's destinies. I don't want people to lie to me. So I realize that whatever I sow is what I will reap. So if I come here every now and then and I just lie to you, then be sure that I will also reap lies in good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. So I choose to just wait, and I'm telling you, it can be a little bit tedious. So I kind of waited and waited and waited. And I just want to share something that came to me to share with us, especially this season that we've gone halfway. Because by next Sunday, people, we've entered the seventh month of 2022. So if you began 2022 and you said, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to achieve this. And you kind of look back and you realize you have not done what you said you will do. This is not to discourage you. This is not to chastise. But this is just to wake us up. Time will not wait. If you don't do things because of the way you feel, or you are waiting for the right atmospheric conditions before you do anything, time will not wait for you. But I know one thing that is waiting for you. This earth, this world, the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 8, between 18 and 19, that the world is waiting for you, your manifestation as a child of God. And if you don't know God, and you are probably watching online or you found your way into this auditorium, I am praying that God Himself will introduce Himself to you by His Spirit. And I'm praying right now, Father, I know absolutely nothing. I ask you, just breathe afresh upon me again. I come to you empty. And I say, Lord, have your way. Please just join to pray and agree. Just say, Lord, speak your word to me. Can we just talk to the Lord, please? I don't want to say anything that God is not asking me to say to you. And this is the way you will draw it out if you earnestly hunger and thirst. Father, speak to me. I want you to speak to me. As you draw from the Spirit of God, as God breathes into me and through me, I will hear and I will speak. So pray for me as you are praying for yourself. In agreement, Father, we come right now that we will hear what your Spirit is saying to us at this season, at this time. I say, Lord, as I hear, I speak. I yield myself to you. And I say, Lord, speak to me and speak through me. Let your word be met on a good ground as I pray over every heart in this place. Every heart, let every heart be transformed by your Spirit into a good ground, ready to receive your word that is able to save our souls. And I pray your word will fall on the good ground of every heart, will take firm root as it germinates to bring forth fruit. And I say, Lord, what you say to us, we will hear, we will remember, we will do, and we will glorify your name as we do what you're saying in the name of Jesus. And I pray ahead of time that, Lord, circumstances, contrary situations, events, circumstances of life will not choke this word. The deceitfulness of riches will not choke this word. I say in the name of Jesus, Satan, you will not steal this word from our hearts. In the name of Jesus. But this word we will hear, we will understand, and we will do in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you want to give it a title, this is what I heard: manifest from eternity into the earth. Manifest from eternity into the earth. It's an instructive word. It's an instruction. It borders on the season, the time of life that we all are individually. You see, well, if we look across the room and we try to do a scan, you will realize that every one of us were in different timing and seasons of our lives individually. You see, the word of God that actually gives us faith is the word that speaks directly to our situation. In Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, that's a specific, instructive, direct word that speaks to you, to your circumstance, to your situation. And I trust that what God is saying right now is what will speak to us individually. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and if we go down to verse 11, I believe, the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has made everything beautiful in its time. Please note that word, everything. It doesn't mean that everything is beautiful, but he has made everything to be beautiful if it's in its time. So listen, for example, you might be mourning, because if you read backwards, the Bible says there's a time to mourn, there's a time to cry, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to rejoice. So whatever time you are in, if it's a time to mourn, God will make it beautiful. I mean, recently, you know, back to back, went through a season of mourning. You know, lost my mother in April of 2020, lost my dad September 2021. Back to back. And I'm asking the Lord questions, you know, why? But then, the Bible says it's the time to mourn. It was our own time to mourn. And I'm telling you, by the grace and the mercy of God, that during a season of mourning, because it was the time to mourn, I got to know the Comforter better. That is the Holy Spirit. He is the Comforter. He will comfort those who mourn. So much more that when you are mourning, it is a beautiful time. He will make it beautiful. It's an irony. But listen, anything that is in its time for your life, whether good, bad, ugly, there is a way God makes it beautiful. He makes all things beautiful, everything beautiful in its time. Listen, it doesn't mean that that thing you're going through is actually beautiful, but God will make it beautiful. And I'm telling you this not by just trying to share revelation. I'm sharing my experience with you. But then, when you go further, it says also he has put eternity in their hearts, into the hearts of daughters of men, sons of men, the hearts of mankind. He says, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. Now, God has put eternity. You need to understand that eternity is just a timeless zone. I'm just trying to make it simple. God, the Bible tells us, he inhabits eternity. God is not limited by time. God does not dwell in a place where time is a factor. Time itself is in God. So God comes out of eternity into our own chronological timing. And that's why God can reverse, restore, wipe off years, locust, palmerworm, cankerworm, caterpillar has eaten in your life. God will so much come that it will look as if you never went through that horrible time of your life. When God comes from the place of eternity and comes into the realm of human timing, he will restore the years. God will so much balance your book that it will look like you were never in debt. Overnight, and it doesn't take God 1 second. You know, one of the things we learned when God first gave us this word is that one strong thing that attracts God, that makes God to look upon us, to come for us, is when we have a broken and a contrite heart, a broken and a contrite spirit. When, you know what? You surrender everything you are going through. Surrender your life. You recognize that without God, you're nothing. You recognize, perhaps this is my mistake, this is my error, I've missed it here. You recognize that it's not by power, it's not by might. It's by the Spirit of God. Whatever I've achieved, whatever I've not achieved, it's not for me to boast. It's not for me to be sad. It's just for me to stay and come to the place where I can reconnect and stay connected with God who dwells in eternity. From eternity to eternity, the Bible says he is God. But then, how does eternity come to us? In our own earth and our limited timing on this earth. So manifest from eternity onto the earth. Listen, some of us are waiting. You know, you've heard this saying, waiting for eternity to come before you do what you're meant to do. Just waiting. You're just waiting for eternity. You know, it's a saying. It just simply means that you're not doing what you're meant to do. You're not doing what you ought to do. Because either you have excuses, either you have something that is stopping you, or you don't feel right. You know, I just don't feel it. See, as a child of God, you should not be led by your feelings. The Bible says, everyone who is a son of God, a child of God, mature, they are led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says they are the sons of God. Sons just means maturity. It is children who usually just go with their feelings. It's time for us to grow up, people. It's time for us to move from where we were this time last year to where God wants us to be. Don't remain in a place where the world is waiting for you to be a blessing. The world is waiting for you to manifest and do something that will change lives. And you are still there, you know, giving excuses or waiting for the weather to change. I'll show us some things the Spirit of God showed me. But then I remembered and called to mind a conversation I once had. And this was when I just left university, you know, a while ago when I first, you know, my first degree. And, you know, I started working in this engineering firm, you know, and I had this very, very mean boss. And when I say mean, he will always threaten that if I don't perform, if I don't do what I'm meant to do, he will sack me. And then he will remind me how I got the job. How many of us know what I'm talking about? When you're doing something and then you start messing up and then they remind you that if not for this, we wouldn't have even employed you. And they start giving you the impression that they are doing you a favor by keeping you on the job. They've overlooked some of the mistakes you've made. Maybe you've had a time with your, you know, line manager or supervisor, and they said, all right, we overlooked this, or you made a glaring mistake, and they start using it against you when you make the next mistake. So you're always on edge, walking on eggshells, walking on eggshells around the house, walking on eggshells maybe around your spouse or around your children, or if you're a child, around your father, because they are reminding you. So I remember this conversation, the Spirit of God just brought it back. And one day, the general manager, that's what who he was. So I was on site supervising this multi-million project. So I was just thrown as a rookie engineer to go and supervise the multi-million project. So all I had from university was more of theoretical knowledge. Well, the theoretical knowledge I had puffed me up a bit. You know when you are puffed up? And before anybody says anything to you, I have MSc. I have MBA. Don't talk to me like that. I went to school. But excuse me, some of us just have the theoretical knowledge. But when it comes to performing, we can't perform. So I was thrown, and I remembered, because already by then I was a Christian, I was always trusting God and learning to follow the Spirit of God. But then, it's not all the time that you are spiritual. So the general manager comes to the site on this particular day, and then he started asking me, all right, so how many reinforcement rods do we have on the site? How many bags of cement do we have? This first half of the project, no, first quarter, what's the estimated number of bags we're going to need, reinforcement rods, how many workers, how many, you know, let me use the local language, but that's not what they are called. How many iron benders will you need on the side? How many laborers? All right, when we're doing the casting, reckon how many, what was the workload of, you know, the amount of staff you will need. Started throwing questions at me, Uncle Gift. And I was, and then he would throw the next question. And then this man washed me down in front of my staff. I will sack you. Useless. What certificate do you have? Which? Who taught you? Did you go to school at all? You should be ashamed of yourself. You call yourself an engineer. Engineer what? Dressed me down. I felt like crying. I was weeping on the inside. And he stormed up. Next time, if I come to this site, and I throw these questions at you and you can't answer, if not for so and so, I wouldn't employ, I'll sack you right now. Stormed off. Next time I come to this site, walked away. I went back into the site office house, weeping, sorry for myself, sorry for the day I was born. Sorry that I even went to school. You know when they just useless you and it's like you don't know anything? All of a sudden, I just realized that my certificate was just a piece of decorated cardboard. I'm telling you, there's something I wrote in the book, Free Advert Now, What Fathers Should Teach Their Children. The certificate, parable of seeds, certificate, certified character, and certified whatever. Just check it out. You see, at times, the piece of decorated cardboard we carry, called certificate, actually puffs us up and does not let us see the future, because the certificate represents your past, not your future. Oh yeah, I must make first class. Yeah, you can make first class, but can you deliver first class solutions in reality in life? Anyway, he left the site and I was so sad. One part of me said, just resign. Work out on this job. And then another side, if you resign, you will suffer. What are you going to eat? And then another part of me. Don't you think the questions he's asking you, if you are an engineer worth his salt, you shouldn't be able to answer? So I took up the challenge. I said, that's it. I'm going to show this man that I'm actually an engineer. Indeed, not on paper. So I went around the site. I took an inventory. I went through the, you know, what we called, anyway, you guys who do project management, you understand, you know, the project is broken down into, you know, kind of seasons, periods. So I looked at it, and then my certificate and knowledge theory kicked in. So I began to do calculations, and I estimated what I will need for the first quarter of the project. And this general manager has a way of coming unannounced. The next time, he came unannounced. Immediately I saw his car driving to the site. I picked up the architectural drawing and the structural engineering drawing. I walked up to him before he stepped out of the car. I said, sir, we have X number of reinforcement rods. There are X men working now. By this time next week, I will need 4 more workmen. I will need an electrician. We need someone now to do the wiring. And yeah, we have, yeah, there are bags of cement. They just delivered this, but we will need this. The man was looking at me like this. I said, sir, come to the side. So I started showing him, and I was walking around with my head high. Why? The man threw a problem at me, and I went back to look for the solution. Listen, it is time, and the Spirit of God brought this experience back to me. I did not like the way the man spoke to me. And the Spirit of God says, it doesn't matter how people talk to you. Can you create solutions? Because the way people talk to you, that's the reason you will not do what you should do. Oh, I don't like the way my wife talks to me. So that's why you stop being a husband. I don't like the way my husband spoke to me. So you stop being a husband. By the way, husband and wife is not a title. Because if you are sitting next to your spouse, please tell them you are not a title. Why are you scared now? Why are some people scared? You are not a title. Please, your wife is watching on camera. Should I give you a microphone? You are not a title. You are a responsibility. And we are responsible for one another. So let's keep on developing the ability to respond. It's called responsibility. Are you able to respond? If you are able to respond, then you are responsible. Dr. Uche. Imagine going to Dr. Uche's clinic. And then you tell Dr. Uche what's wrong with you. And then Dr. Uche say, Chai, I forgot my physiology 101. Wait, I'm coming. Will you go back to his clinic? If that's the answer he gives you. Everybody's looking for solutions. And the Spirit of God showed me, Genesis chapter 1, that God created you, created me in His image, in His likeness. What does that mean? What God can do is giving me the ability to do. That may blow somebody's mind. What can God do? Look at Genesis 1. There was a problem. Daddy King David. Big problem on the earth. The earth was dark. The earth was empty. The earth was shapeless, formless. God did not run away. God did not say, what kind of problem is this? Who caused this nonsense? And then sit down and start talking about it. Do you know that's what some of us do? I'm very sorry, people. I just find out that I'm so impatient now with people who like talking about problems and don't want to talk about solution. Yeah, we've heard the problem. Can we create a solution? Can we look for the solution? Why? Because that's what ability God gave you. Listen, these words came to me this morning. Very powerful. Listen. Please repeat after me. If there's a problem, there's a solution. Let it sink. Écoutez. You speak French? Écoutez. Écoutez means listen. Dr. Patrick, écoute. Please repeat again. If there's a problem, there is a solution. Please, one more time. If, everybody say if, there is a problem, then there is a solution. Okay, wait for this next one. Wait for this next one. Some of us are praying for a promotion. Your promotion comes from the problems you solve. Your promotion comes from the solutions you bring to problems. You have been praying, Lord, promote me. Promotion on my job. Please ask yourself, how many problems are you solving in the organization for you to be promoted? Are you one of those when you see problems, you go and join trade union? We will fight this organization. We will fight to finish. And then you bring the organization down. And then all of you end up being jobless. Please, don't get me wrong. They are very nice trade unions and they fight for workers' rights. But excuse me, can we all start looking at problems within our organizations and stop making it look like us versus them? Do you know why some people are in position of leadership and they are earning more money than you? Because they are solving problems. Oh, somebody is saying, I can almost hear Balotelli saying, what about Ronaldo? What problem is he solving? He's solving problems of free kick. Boom, goes into the net. And then everybody, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands. Yeah, go, Ronaldo! What problem is he solving? Everybody wants to get high once in a while and get excited. He's solving your problem. And then he's getting how much a week. And then you are here complaining, ah, all these footballers, ah, yeah, waste of money, over bloated ego. What problem are you solving? Just sit down and analyze. And please, those of us who love to analyze, that's all you do, just analyze. Did you see what Ronaldo, he should have passed the ball, he should have done a De Bruyne pass, he should have done, you analyze and analyze and analyze. Analysis don't solve problems. Like somebody said, analysis too much creates paralysis. Some people just love to analyze and then you argue. Have you noticed? You're analyzing this other person's analysis. No, it's not like that. No. Labour Party. Conservative. No. Yes. APC. PDP. Hey, and then you end up, boom, start boxing each other over nothing. Please say it again if there's a problem. There is a solution. Okay, add this line. I will create a solution. From today, I don't run from problems. I run to problems to solve problems. God created mankind like himself. He saw a formless, empty, dark earth, confronted it, and said, let there be light. I was asking this morning while meditating, Lord, you could have created the earth. How many days did it take in the Bible? You're a Bible scholar, Dr. Jeb. I can see Bible written all over you. How many days did God create the earth? No, from Genesis chapter 1. No, I'm not putting you on the spot. No, you got it. You said it. He created it on 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested. So I was like, why did you just create the whole thing in one day? Do you want to tell me God couldn't have created in one day? But God took his time, created light, told the waters to separate, told dry land to appear. The Bible will say first and the evening was the first day. Second day will come. Listen, there was something the Spirit of God showed me many years ago and still brought to my remembrance. You see, those days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they are very, is there any word like metaphoric? They are metaphors. Some of us are in day one of our lives, or the season of life, where all that has just happened is light. And because the waters are still there and they're still, everything is not shaped, you now give up. You forget that there's day two coming. You forget that there's day three coming. So we give up on day one. Some of us are in day two. Some of us are in day three. Oh, this thing is taking too long. Listen, the ultimate is day six, when God made someone like himself. And the Bible said, God said, it was very good. That's the way God describes you. Every other thing God created, you will see the Bible say, and God saw that it was good. But when it got to you, mankind, he said it was very good. Please say, I am very good. I create solutions and I solve problems. Your promotion comes from the problems you solve. Listen, I realized one thing as I begin to close. God, the ultimate creation of God is you, mankind. But then, where did God put mankind? Did he put the man in heaven? Please help me. Genesis chapter 1. He put the man where? Where is the garden? On the earth. He could have taken the man straight to heaven. But he put the man on the earth on purpose. To do what? To create solutions. To solve problems. And I will just see, let us see the breakdown of how to create solutions and solve problems. I saw something, I've seen it before, I just saw it again in a different dimension. Now, come with me to that Genesis chapter 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God creates everything, creates the stars, the moon, the sun, the lights. He took his time. Day six, he created you. But then God did something very interesting on the earth he created. You see, he made a statement about the earth. And this statement, I'm telling you, if you look at it carefully, it will change your perspective on the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, I just want you to see something quickly. Please, if they can display that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Right? And I want us to just look at the first part of Genesis 1, 24. Please, can you display it? Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Just look at the first part. God said something about the earth. He said, let the earth... Have they found it? Okay, please open your Bible and stop looking at me like I'm the Bible. or like I'm the author of the Bible. The media team, you found it. Okay, everybody, let's read. It's on the screen. Let the earth, just read the first part. Let the earth do what? Stop there. The earth has been commanded to bring forth. But listen, the earth will only bring forth what you sow into it. If you sow trouble in the earth, it will do what? You don't want to say it. It will bring forth in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But then, look at the commandment God gave man. We will link it with the earth bringing forth now. All right? If there's a problem, please repeat. If there's a problem, no, just tell me the answer. If there's a problem, please tell somebody, if there's a problem, don't let's just talk about it. Please tell somebody now. If there's a problem, don't let's just talk about it. Husband and wife, talk to yourselves. There's a problem. If there's a problem between us, don't let us just talk about it. Let's look for a solution. Mother and son, if there's a problem, don't let us just talk about it. Mommy, I'm checking out. You're giving me too much problem in this house. Don't you know my age? Balotelli, behave. Behave your age and you will attract the respect correspondent to your responding ability. That's one of the things I learned from my father. I captured it in that book. You want respect? Then behave respectfully. You want to be treated like a man and not a boy. Balo, behave like a man. All right, look at what God said. Genesis chapter 1, same Genesis chapter 1. The Bible said in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. And over everything creeping on the earth. So God created man, verse 27, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. So that you will know that God is gender specific too. You know, people talk about, they quote the Bible and say, you know, females, wives, because the Bible says they are weaker. Who said vessel? Is it a woman that said a man? A woman said it. Do you know it's written in the Bible that women are weaker vessels? Dr. Patrick, it is also physiologically, is it physiologically? Proven. And psychotherapeutic. I'm talking to my, that's my psychotherapist. No, not psychotherapist. Physiotherapy, Kali. Is there any word like that? Please, if you need physiotherapy, just go and see her. She saved my life many times through physio. It's called knowledge, creating solutions, solving problems. The problem, please don't, I'm saying this with due respect. The problem, you see, some of us are praying over some things we should be doing. I could be praying, something was wrong with my ankle. I could be praying, yes, Lord, I need healing. In the name of Jesus, I bind your ankle. I cast the ligament. Straighten up and all that. Just go to her. She will just tell you, do your leg like this, do your leg like this. Go to the wall, do like that. And then you have strengthened your calf. What do you call that muscle? Calf and then that place, you take the pressure off the knee and then you're strong. It's called creating solutions, solving problems. Where did man get that kind of intelligence? You think they plucked it from the sky? I will show us something that God put inside you that we don't recognize. What was the next thing God said? Then God blessed them, and God said to them, please, please, please wake up. God said to them, be, please shout it out loud. Stop sleeping. Not you. I'm just looking that direction. Not that I was saying. Be. Fin. Be. Is that fin? Be. You're shaking your head. That's why you're a boy. I'm a man. Did you notice, listen people, that God did not say be seedful? Okay, let me ask you, how do you get fruit? Where is fruit? Okay, I was saying something now. As I looked at you, I remember I wanted to say something about women being weaker vessels. Do you know that it is the vessel container that is weaker, not the content? How come you are the one who said powerful? Your husband didn't say powerful. It is the container that is weaker, not the content. The content, whether weaker or stronger, is the same. We have the self-same Holy Spirit. Has anybody seen female Holy Spirit and male Holy Spirit before? Some of us think the Holy Spirit, when it comes into Dr. Jem, you start in. And when it comes to give, yeah, power, same Holy Spirit. So forget about the content. Let's look at the, forget about the container. Let's look at the content, because the content is the same, and the content, if you use the content rightly, you will achieve the same thing. Male and female created he them, but he did something. He blessed them and said, be fruitful. How do you get fruit? From seed. So why didn't God say be seedful and actually said be fruitful? You can't tell me to be fruitful if you have not given me seed. So what it means is that God has put seed inside every one of us. The difference between you and I is what we do with the seed. What determines whether I'm fruitful or not fruitful is what I do with the seed. And let me tell us the first, ultimate, most powerful, potent seed that will never, ever not come to pass. When Jesus was speaking about the parable of the sower, he said, hear ye the interpretation. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word. So when you hear the word and you do what the word says, you will be fruitful. For example, the word says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know one thing I found out about love? Love never fails. Never. How many of us have met people, they just hate you. They just don't want to see you. They hate you. Do you know the natural human default? Hate me, I hate you. I almost spoke pidgin English now. Hate me, I hate you. God, no go vex. Did I just speak pidgin? No. Hate me, I love you. God will manifest. Sorry, that's a good tweet. God will, because God is love. Oh, somebody's saying, no, you don't know. I am telling you, not one tittle, not one jot of the word of God will go unfulfilled. You sow love to people. We overcome evil with good. We overcome darkness with light. You give me fire, I give you fire. It's fire for fire. And then we burn down the house. I know a very, I'm not being sexist. I'm just telling you it's a true story. I know a lovely lady. And she was counseled where she was coming from before she married. Don't take nonsense from a man. Don't take nonsense. When you go to that family, don't listen to anybody. And she married into a lovely family where they love each other. Their spouses, all of them were men. So everyone who had married, and she was the last person to join that family. And all the spouses, everybody got along. They loved each other, cared for each other, looked out for each other. And then she came with a counsel. Don't take nonsense. Don't take nonsense from any man. And she joins the family of love. And the counsel they gave her, fire, just give fire. And almost scattered the relationship among family because of wrong counsel. Listen, what does it take you to love somebody? Do you know what it is? It's a commandment. It's not an advice. Husband, love your wives like yourself, like your own body. See, I've met men. That's my wife. That's her problem. It's not her problem. It's your problem. That's what you married. Love conquers. So God said, be fruitful. Because he has put seed to produce fruit inside you and I. And we think we don't have what it takes. You have what it takes. Start with the word of God. That is the seed. You hear the word of God. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. The Bible says, don't be a forgetful hearer. What you hear, put it to practice. That is where it starts from. The world is tired of people who go to church, Dr. Lucky, and leave church services and don't manifest the word of God. The world is waiting for you. There are problems in your workplace. There are problems in your community. There are problems on the street. Stop talking about the problems. There are problems in homes. Stop talking about them. Bring the seed out. Plant the seed. The earth has been commanded to reproduce after its kind. Finally, there was something God showed us at the start of the year. And it just calls from a sober reflection. And I'm rounding up with this. I don't know, Holy Spirit, just do the rest. Please, can you bring that slide up that shows me? This is halftime, people. 6 months have gone. Maybe you have lost the first 6 months of the year. There are two halves. Maybe you are 4-0 down. Maybe you've not done what you should do. Maybe where you are right now is not where you really want to be. You can change the story in the second half. That's why the likes of Ronaldo's and all of them, they get a lot of money. They will bring them in halftime. They will go in and score 4 goals and equalize and score the fifth. And then earn 100 and something thousand per hour. And you are shouting. What problem are you solving? It's time to examine me, people. Put yourself in that middle. The arrow that points up. Who is speaking into your life? Where are you receiving from? Are you receiving from God, who has the words of life, who can change your story? God, who is love? Or are you receiving from people who will keep telling you, give fire for fire? Excuse me, I've learned common sense with gift. If you give me fire, I give you water. What happens to the fire? It's gone. Give me fire. I give you fire. We have more fire. And then we begin to see the roof is on fire. We don't need no water. We got Holy Ghost fire. The roof. Excuse me. That's not what the Holy Ghost fire is from. It's for Holy Ghost fire is power. Power from on high to empower you to be a witness, to live like Christ, to be led in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So who is talking? Where are you receiving from, people? It's high time to examine yourself. What are you listening to? What are you exposing yourself to? And the arrow to the right, when you look at the positive, negative of a battery, right is positive, is it? That way. And then this other side is negative. You have positive influences in life, and you also have negative influences. And they're both pulling you. If you learn to get the right balance, both the positive and the negative, get the right balance, they will not move you. You know, I always recall this story of a man who offended his Lord and was going to behead him. And he begged and he said, I will not cut off your head on one condition. This is Revised Standard Version of the story, okay? So you will balance on a spoon, egg, from one end of a stadium to the other end, and walk back from the other end to the other end, and the egg must not drop. Because right behind you is the person with the sword who is going to cut off your head if it drops. So he carried the egg, balanced on a spoon, the beheader behind him, and was going to walk from one end to the other. But then on a condition. On one side of the stadium, are those who are hailing him, yeah, you can do it. Motivational speakers, you can fly. I believe I can fly. Don't you believe you can touch the sky? Jump into the lion's den. The lion will just go like Daniel. You jump, let me see. Motivational speakers. They'll be hailing you. On the other side are those who will be booing you, calling you names. Look at his head. Look at his nose. You should die. They should kill you. Rubbish. Nonsense. So on one side they're hailing, on the other side they're booing. Behind, the person who will cut the head. And on the spoon, egg. So the man said, okay, deal. So he started from one end and was going with the egg delicately on the spoon. They were booing, those booing on the left. Ah, yeah, look at his head. Look at his coconut. Ah, yeah, look at his eye. Ah, yeah. Cyber bullies. And then on the right, yes, you can do it. Go, Mamo. Go, Mamo. Go, Mamoke. Go, Mamoke. So it was going. So Mamoke was going. He didn't drop the egg. He made it to the first end. He turned back. And he was going again. This time, the people to his right were those booing him. The ones to the left were those hailing him. You know? Position swapped. He walked. And guess what? Mamoke made it to the end. He didn't drop the egg. So they asked Mamoke, wait a minute. How come you didn't drop that egg? Is it the people who are hailing you that helped you? Or the people who are booing you wanted to prove a point to them that you can do it? And Mamoke said, I said it's Revised Standard Version, so it's not Mamoke, but you know. But Mamoke is getting the rema. And Mamoke said, neither the people who are hailing me, nor the people who are booing me. I was too focused on the task not to drop the egg. I did not hear either of them. See, life, you will have people who will encourage you. You will have people who will discourage you. And then on the flip side, those who were once encouraging you can turn around and be the ones who are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. They will start shouting, crucify him. Are you going to live your life based on people's, whether they encourage you or discourage you? The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God when the table's turned. I was too focused on solving the problem of not dropping that egg. I neither heard the people encouraging or discouraging. Who? Please bring that slide. So that's what the right and the left does. For your account to balance, I know you did something around account of gift. You need both, you put your liabilities and your, what's the other one? Assets. Is it assets? Let's ask your wife. She's watching. Esther, please type it on the comment. You put assets and liabilities. And then that's what balances your balance book. In life, you need assets, you need liabilities to balance. You need people to boo you. You need people to hail you. But don't live your life based on who is hailing, who is booing. Focus on the problem you have been assigned to solve. And Then finally, if your life is balanced and you are receiving from the right source, then you have to pour into others too. Freely you receive, freely you give. Listen, if you are receiving, you're balanced, you are not giving, you will die. You're like the Dead Sea that's always receiving water, but never, everything starts dying around you if you are not giving. You don't have people you are pouring into. People you are sowing your life, the good things God has put inside you, into. People, let's pray. Half time, it's time for a re-examination. When we have a work to do, just talk to the Lord. Just leave that slide on so that people can just see. Holy Spirit, help us. We have a work to do. We have problems to solve. We need you. We need the right balance. Are you delaying something you said you will do, a project? You said you will start, but you have not.